and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Showgirls, a 1995 erotic thriller film. I'm calling it thriller. Directed by Paul Verhoeven. Yusuf, this was your pick this week. Why?
Because it was in color and it was had nudity and fun. That's
and
what I
honestly,
wanted.
It delivered. Yeah. By God, did it deliver.
That's all I wanted.
Yes. This was critically panned
when
it first came out. People hated it. What did you say that Steven Spielberg...
Steven Spielberg shut it off halfway through and said, sometimes I hate this town.
I think that's a little too harsh, Steven.
And Kyle MacLachlan said that when he first watched it, he hated it and that it was bad. And, he said, that's a really bad scene. But you say, that's okay. The next one will be better. And you somehow try to convince yourself that it's going to go better. And it just gets worse. And I was
God.
Wow, that was crazy. Anyways, he distanced himself from the movie. But now he says it's found a different life where it's funny.
Yeah.
But not on purpose, which I think is wrong.
No, this is definitely funny on purpose. This is a lot of Verhoeven stuff, like RoboCop, like Starship Troopers. This is satire.
But he also says maybe it was the wrong material with the wrong director and the wrong cast.
All right, Kyle. I'll have to say, not his best performance from him.
Yeah.
No, he's miscast. He looked like Peter Parker in Spider-Man 3 when he got venomed, when he became emo Peter Parker. He looks so much like, and he wasn't the best part of this movie. I liked it. Michelle, what did you think?
It was fine.
Yeah?
I don't know. It was weird.
It's just
a lot of naked women all the time, constantly. I did this, you can't go longer than a minute without seeing some boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're almost completely desensitized by it by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think is what the film is also kind of trying to do. It's overwhelming you with all the, what is Vegas but gluttony and indulgence and sin? And you get a lot of it. And that's part of, because you're also being so transparent that this is all just exploitation. This is all just sex work. You can gloss it up however you like, but at the end of the day, this is what it is. And I think that's the movie's pretty honest, and it's a pretty honest take on it, and which is so surprising considering it's mostly known for being very the big exploitation movie of the 90s.
We'll see. Okay, so essentially he wanted to do a different movie. It was called Crusade, based on a screenplay by Alan Green starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh.
However, that fell through when they couldn't finance the movie Crusade and a different movie called Cutthroat Island. Anyways, so then the $10 million had already been spent on Crusade, and they spent $4 million to acquire the script. And so he was friends with whoever owned the company, and he did the movie. He decided to do the movie as a favor to him. But he didn't like the script, so he rewrote it, basing it on All About Eve. And that it was supposed to be a morality tale populated with only amoral characters, except for the character of Molly. And Las Vegas as a metaphor for hypocrisy and extortion, but the satirical intentions were not picked up by the critics.
How can you be a critic? Movie critic, a guy who watches and not pick
and
up?
And not pick this up.
The 90s, it's a different time.
Yeah.
A different kind of
this came out
everything.
I don't know, after The Matrix.
No, The Matrix was
99. Oh, okay. Oh, no, because Universal wasn't bound, that was before. Okay, never mind. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so he says he called Showgirl his most Fellini-esque picture, praising it for its lush cinematography and colors. He also admitted that it lacked dramatic drive and that he should have included a thriller element in the form of a murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
That would have made it amazing. I think if he had done that, it would have been my favorite.
Like making an actual thriller.
Yeah.
De Palma. I thought
De
Palma so much
while
watching this. It had the way he shoots the male, he understands the male gaze is actually very, very effective.
Have you watched Snake Eyes?
Only the opening scene.
Yeah, so that's a good one. It's a Vegas one. It's it's very similar.
Crazy Nick Cage performance.
Or maybe it's Atlantic City. I don't know. But it is, it's a crazy.
Well, as the only woman here, do you think the movie is being exploited? Do you think it's leering and
I think it's men thinking that they're being progressive, but it's really playing into everything.
Sorry.
But that's like the most that you could
get. But
isn't
the fact that, yeah, exactly. Well, even now.
But that's not.
Even now, I think this is the most. Yeah, you can get.
Yeah.
But I don't think the movie's just offering like platitudes to it. It actually goes like, no, these are terrible. These are all terrible people. Like every single one of them.
Why are they all terrible?
They are all kind of terrible.
All, like,
that's what the industry
makes
them.
Making out for themselves. And
yeah.
Aside from that girl who was raped.
Molly, like, who is the whole center.
Everyone was, like, doing bad stuff.
Although, I don't think... It is... Okay, maybe. Is it problematic that she's... Like, her friend gets sexually assaulted and that's meant to be the catalyst for her to change?
Yeah.
And her being the only, like, black character. Well, no, there's another one. So.
There's
the dancing guy. And I think that part, that plot line was meant to showcase, like, the people who don't have it. Right? You were talking about earlier how this is a movie about, like, a filmmaker trying to decide whether to, like, give the people what they want or not.
Commerce. Yeah. It's like a battle between what works and what you want to do.
Yeah.
I think. And that's, like, seen in that scene.
Exactly.
Where it does the show and...
Nobody likes it.
Yeah, people just want to dance.
And then he's like, oh, I just had to go back.
Yeah.
Working in the supermarket, and that's it. It's like, oh, okay, so there's... By extension, you said... Do you want to make this a sequel?
Yeah, he wanted to do a sequel, but it was Naomi Does Hollywood. And I'm assuming she goes to
Hollywood.
And there's, like, a bunch of, like, acting gigs. And then maybe someone says, like, oh, you should, you know, give me sexual favors. And then
yeah, then there'll be the real Me Too movie.
Yeah.
People also hated the main performance from Elizabeth Berkley. She's fine in this. She's exactly what the film demands her to do. And I thought her performance is just fine.
When is Prime Day? Sorry.
When is Prime Day?
Sorry, I forgot.
I'm so glad we're doing such a good job staying on topic.
The movie was good, I think. Over.
You're the one who picked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
This and Starship Troopers are the ones that are, I guess, misunderstood.
Yeah.
But people like Starship Troopers for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie, too. It still has.
I like this more.
You like this more?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah?
Yep.
I like. There was great shot choices, and it looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The way he shoots, like, the glossiness of Vegas. All right, shall we move on to part two?
Mm-hmm.
Part two.
And we're back! Let's step right up. Seven reels, everybody. Why are we writing up these girls? I'm gonna give them a...
I'm gonna do a six.
Me too. I like this. I'm gonna give it six.
Sexy.
It's sexy. We're a bunch of topless women just flying off the shelves. All right.
It's cool. She beat up that guy and it was kind of impactful.
Yeah. And thought like all the dance stuff was like actually really well thought out. It's like, and the way they use it to actually also tell the story. We didn't even mention the relationship between Gina Gerson's character and her character, because that was probably the most fascinating part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They hate each other. They kind of love each other. They're both girls trying to get ahead of the game.
They're both girls.
I didn't like that stuff with them too.
But I like, she keeps reinforcing, like, you're a whore. Like, doesn't matter whatever you try to do in this town, like, this is what you are.
I think that's what most artists in Hollywood feel like, right?
They
have to be like, even if you're like Scorsese or someone like that, you're still sort of just selling tickets.
Get up there, show us what you want, like, what we want to see, and that's it.
You still want to, like, get Leonardo DiCaprio and stuff like that to get, like,
I don't think that's new, though. Like, Mozart made his money from teaching, not from, like, performance.
No way. That was not an Amadeus.
I think that was... You know, it wasn't Amadeus. Yeah. By the third act, he's poor, and they're, like, he's in dire straits, and that's when Salieri swoops in. He's like, what are you writing to me? Let me take it.
Okay,
it's great. Amadeus is fantastic. But, because by that point, like, they don't sponsor musicians as much anymore, right? Like, it's not like...
Yeah.
It's not like
hand... Well, it's like artists as well. They were patrons,
mm-hmm.
and they were told what to do. They do the portraits, they do the landscapes, whatever.
Yeah.
It was commissioned.
Now we have Patreon.
Yes.
That's all our contribution. Yes.
Well, Patreon is now, actually, you think of it as in reverse,
the
right? Now I have, like, patrons space funding what I want to do, so I guess that's the best thing that could
happen.
If you
like what I make, give me money.
If I like what, exactly.
You know that when they wanted to make Anomalisa and they put Charlie Kaufman's name on the GoFundMe page, he, like, yelled at them. He was like, people are going to think I'm begging for money.
Like, oh, Charlie, you don't understand how this is.
Yeah.
You should be begging for money. Your movies don't
make
any money, Charlie.
No,
nobody would have made this.
Literally.
Come on, Charlie.
Maybe they shouldn't have, honestly.
I liked it. And I liked his new one, the Netflix one, too. Because it had actresses I like. That's literally the reason why I liked it. Anyways, what have we been watching this week? We watched A Haunting in Venice.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Did you like it?
Quite liked it. It was quite enjoyable. It's the only one that's not based off an actual... It's like loosely based off an Agatha Christie story.
Really?
But so he's not working with... So the crime, and it shows, because I don't think the mechanics of the whodunit fall together as neatly as it would in Murder on the Orient Express or even Death on the Nile. But it still works because this is completely character-driven. This time around, it's much darker. It's almost like a horror theme, but that's kind of part of the vibe and kind of the part of the mystery.
Yeah.
And filmmaking wise, he's all over the place. He's jumping around. Half the time, there's some Sam Raimi in here. When they go down to the basement, it becomes a bit like the Blair Witch Project. And there's like these insane, like, you know, those Spike Lee shot where the camera is like fixated on the guy and he's walking through like a hallway or something, but it's still like all completely fixed on him. They do this, but like it's crazy in this movie. And it's a murder mystery. It's all set in one house. Quite liked it.
The Blair Witch Project.
That's great.
The Blair Witch
Project.
I don't know. I tried.
You tried. That's great.
But I want to see it.
Go see it. Go see it. I think you'll like it. It's a good time in the theater. We did have a child.
Oh, it was so bad.
You would have killed him.
Yeah. I said to Arvin, we need Yusuf.
Yeah, you would have.
She would tell them to shut up.
It
was like this kid, he was like talking very loudly to his dad. His dad was talking back to him.
What?
And then everyone in the theater was like, shh, shh. And then someone went and told someone outside. They came in, told them to shut up. And then...
The kid was quiet.
Sporadically, they kept kind of making a bit of noise.
I get so frustrated. I watch stuff at home now.
I think the dad just wanted to bring his kids out of the house, and it's just like, what's the nearest, what's like the soon, like
the,
closest movie playing? So they just did that. That's
what
I'm assuming.
Though? What benefit does that have?
They went to an arcade.
Yeah, there's literally RK right outside. I just don't understand. Anyways, because that kind of ruined the setup because I was having a hard time trying to listen.
I hate that.
Because I actually had to listen, so I want because I want to participate in the mystery.
Yeah, you're a guesser.
Yeah, you're a guesser. But the movie also plays with you on that.
Yeah.
It's like intentionally just like scaring you to hide clues. It's great. I like that.
I really want to watch.
What have you watched?
What did I watch? I watched half of The Irishman.
And you didn't like it?
No, I did not. I thought it was ridiculous that they want us to buy into him being young. It just took me out of the movie. Everyone's supposed to be way younger, and they're all like moving like... Like
De Niro is so stiff. That scene when he has to go beat on that grocer.
Yeah.
He's kicking. It doesn't look like...
It's insane. It's insane.
But I still I like the story though.
I know. The end is cool. Like, I was talking to my brother about this, and he was like, yeah, the ending is cool.
Ending
is
sick.
The last part of it, when they're like age appropriate.
Everything's falling apart.
But
the movie should have
just
been that. Exactly.
Why
can't it just be him in like the retirement home and trying to reaccount? Like, that would be amazing.
That would be a more interesting
movie. It'd be also a shorter movie.
Yeah,
and I think it's.
Long.
Are you still excited for Killers of Flower Moon?
Kind of, but I. What was the last one?
That Irishman was the last one.
Really?
Yeah, he hasn't made one since.
All right, I'm kind of. Excited.
And before that was Silence. So like, then
okay.
Before that was Wolf of Wall Street. So maybe
ooh,
like he
okay.
Could loop back.
That was that big of a
he, gap? He made Silence right after Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that like 2017?
No,
2016?
It was like 2015, 2015, 2016, I think.
Oh.
Man, I'm kind of worried that the whole Tarantino thing is right. That you should just.
Retire and leave it to, but there's no, is there a new exciting voice that's gonna like rival or it feels like it's already made its mark? And like, I don't know, I don't think so.
Well, not really, I guess not.
Because women aren't getting to direct.
What are our recommendations?
I recommend Snake Eyes. I forgot what I said I wanted to recommend, but Snake Eyes. Oh, that's true. Now I'm gonna stick with Snake Eyes. It's in Atlantic City, it's got the same thing. If Snake Eyes and Tar were one movie, this would be it, I think.
Mm-hmm. You sure?
I think Coyote Ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
Coyote
remember
Ugly.
It at all. I just
that's...
remember that they were like naked on a bar dancing, so it feels relevant.
My recommendation is Support the Girls. This is like my third time I think I brought it up in this podcast. I really liked it. It's about these girls working in Hooters, but it's not, they don't call it Hooters in the movie, but it's about that. And it just follows them on just a day in their life as they go about their day. It's great. And very similar to this in terms of like the vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you seen Burlesque with Cher?
Oh, no.
No.
That's
also like this.
Yeah, that movie, maybe that movie could use more nudity.
Yeah.
What are we doing next time?
We're watching...
Burlesque.
Oh, share. No, we're going to do something very, very different. I'm going to suggest you guys to Shin Kamen Rider. This is a 2022 film by Hideaki Anno.
What do you think?
And I can't wait for you guys to make sense of it.
Oh, he takes on the evil organization.
Shocker. All right, so... Okay, stop reading it out loud. We'll be watching that. Stay tuned, everybody. Keep it real.
It's directed by Hideaki Anno.
Hideaki. All right, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Hideaki Anno.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.